Okay, the title of our message today is Opposing Truths. And I want to get inside of Paul's mind, which I think I'm able to do, and because he has a very interesting theology that I've been trying to tease out over the last few weeks. And I want us all to read some verses together. If you would, please. First of all, let's look at Ephesians 2:6. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the back of the pew. Ephesians 2:6. And I want you to see a theme that is in Paul's theology ever and always, and it has such tremendous hope for us. General Electric Power Company. That's how you remember Paul's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So we're going with the electric, Ephesians. Ephesians 2:6. He also raised us up already, you see this? With him and seated us with him in the heavens, in Christ Jesus. It's already done. You and I are already raised up. You and I are already seated in the heavens. Now, this is a tough concept. But this has to do with what we've been talking about. The enabling of the Spirit. All right, let's look at another one of Paul's. Let's go to Philippians 3:20 and 21. Just right over. Philippians 3:20 and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21 then. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. Paul has such a robust idea of bodily resurrection. And he ties this robust theology of bodily resurrection, he ties it in with this concept of the now and the not yet for the people of God. There's a now for us, and there's a not yet for us. However, Paul hints at the fact that the not yet is already here. I know this is, you know, I told Teresa, I'm grateful for Newville Church because you are able to take the deep things. You're able to eat the meat instead of just the milk. And it's really a blessing for me. You know, when I was in several churches growing up, and I think that you get to a point in your Christian walk where you just, you know, we've got the basics down and you want to go into it deeper. So I think that's what we're going to do here. Opposing truths. See, Paul says, you're here, but you're also there. You're already raised up with him. You're already seated in the heavens. Your citizenship is in heaven. Let's look at Colossians 1:13, right next door there to Philippians. He has rescued us already from the domain of darkness and transferred us, see, transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. You've been rescued from the domain of darkness, and you are transferred already into the kingdom. You're already transferred into this citizenship. And Paul is going to tie this in with bodily resurrection. Now let's look at the money phrase. Let's look at Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Just turn the page. You get overwhelmed with the now of life. Overwhelmed with earthly facts of the now. Well, listen, that's the enemy's game. What I love about these old hymns, Abide With Me, Liz and Tad, thank you. Here's what the enemy does. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? What the tempter tries to do is to make you and me think your earthly facts are eternal. Who like thyself can be my guide and stay with me? Let's look at Colossians 1, or 3, 1 to 4. Great, great verses here. So if you've been raised with the Messiah, what do you do with that? How does this change our lives? Now, seek what is above. Where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Remember, you've been raised with him. Remember what Paul said just a couple pages back? You've already been raised and you've already been seated in the heavens. Listen, if the Spirit can get this concept into you today, you're going to be more than through that a match for the enemy. See, the enemy does not want us to know this. But this has been dropped in my heart by the Spirit, and it's just been, it's been a wonderful concept. I think Dave said last week, thank you, Dave, he said the comfort that is held here. Seek what is above, where the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. Look at verse 2. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is below, not on what is on the earth. Mindset. Paul says, those whose lives are according to the flesh, well, he said they think about things of the flesh. Those whose lives are according to the Spirit, Romans 8, they think about things of the Spirit. Oh, and Paul then tells us the problem with that. For the mindset of the flesh is death. You concentrate on what is of the earth, it's a mindset of death. And it has an insidious, this is like a slow death that can happen to us. It's an insidious reaching into our lives, and we experience this slow death. They'll give him death by inches, Shakespeare says. And that's what happens when you set your mind on things of the earth. And Paul says, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. See, here's the mindset of the Spirit. This is it. This is spelled out. The mindset of the Spirit is that, first of all, you realize you're standing. You realize you've already been raised with him. You're already seated in the heavenly realm. See, that's so hard for our Western minds to grapple with and get around. And so because that's true, you can have life and peace here and now. I love these Colossian verses. Verse 2, set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth. Why, Paul? Well, I'll tell you why. Verse 3, here's your answer. For you have died, and your life is, look at it, your life is hidden Your life is, in other words, your life is stored with the Messiah in God. And look at verse 4. When the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. What are you getting from this? What are you getting from Paul's thought here? Get inside the mind of Paul. Brilliant. Again, talking to Teresa, just who could write like this? Who could come up with these kind of things if it were not Holy Spirit directed? So many times we allow the enemy to get us to do the opposite of verse 2, Colossians 3, verse 2. We allow the enemy to do the opposite, and we set our minds on what is of the earth. And again, the problem with that is it's a mindset of death. The problem with that is you don't get life and peace. And the reason we do that is because we have a dimensional thought that puts our earthly facts as permanent. And Paul ties this in with bodily resurrection. Why am I beating this drum about opposing truths, about the now and the not yet, about the enablement of the Spirit now as a signpost pointing into the mist of the enablement of the Spirit later? And I'll tell you why I'm beating this drum. Because if this concept comes home into your hearts and minds, you will, when we finally do get to bodily resurrection, which Paul does in chapter 5 here in 2 Corinthians, we're getting there. When we get there, you're going to understand it completely. You're going to get it. And you're going to believe it devoutly. But we have to understand this first. So, I made up a little summary of 2 Corinthians. Let's go through that together. 2 Corinthians. First, we'll just go through this as a review and as a summary, and I'm going to make some editorial comments on the way. Corinthians 4, 7 to 9. And if you understand 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9, it informs everything below that Paul says. It informs everything below it. Opposing truths. What do you mean by that? What I mean by that is that what Paul is saying here in these verses that we read is that there are two things that can coexist. You're here, but you're in the heavenly realm. You're on earth, but you've been seated in the heavens. We're citizens of the USA, but we're citizens of heaven. Now, let's see. What about this treasure? Concerning the treasure that Paul talks about. And what is the treasure? Paul doesn't identify it yet, so I kind of went ahead. And at the end of this, he does identify the treasure as the Holy Spirit. Now, what about this concerning the treasure? What are the things about it? These are the summaries. We have it now. It has extraordinary power. Do you feel extraordinary power from the Spirit? You know, I think the Spirit, I read a book called The Forgotten God. And it's a book about the Holy Spirit, and I've been literally swept off my feet of late, accessing this treasure that is extraordinarily powerful, and I have it now. You have it now. So concerning this treasure, number one, we have it now. Number two, it has extraordinary power. And number three, it's from God. So that's a synopsis of the treasurer's role in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9. Now, what about the clay jars? Concerning the clay jars, what are the clay jars? The people of God. We hold this treasure within. Again, remember, the Holy Spirit has to have an object to manifest itself. This is how, this is why and how you understand bodily resurrection. Remember what I just said. The Holy Spirit has to have an object in order to manifest itself, to be known, to be revealed, has to be working through something that is material, something that is corporeal. Otherwise, it's just an invisible force that doesn't affect anything. So we as clay jars, concerning the clay jars, we hold this treasure within us, and here's what it does. And here's what we cannot overlook, what this treasure that we hold within us does, and this is very important, which allows opposing truths to coexist within your life simultaneously. Now, I just said a lot there in that sentence. Not that I speak such profundities. I'm not saying that. The Holy Spirit just said a lot to you right there. Do you have ambiguities in your life? Honey, I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to invoke your name again. Teresa said, talked to me about this week. She said, you know, these opposing truths that coexist within our lives simultaneously, she said, that was Jesus, wasn't it? Here we have God, and here we have humanity, and those are opposing truths, but they're coexisting simultaneously within the body of Jesus of Nazareth, which trickles down to all of God's people, because that's the treasure that we have. Your body, your life is an example of these opposing truths. This spirit, this treasure that we have given by God, if you remember nothing else about what I'm saying today, just remember that this is what it does. It allows this to occur. It allows opposing truths to occur. Simultaneously, within us, they coexist. And that just doesn't make sense. How can this be true and at the same time this be true? But for the non-God people, there are no coexisting truths. They have one truth. They've got their earthly facts, and those earthly facts are going to run amok, unopposed. You see, we have the opposing truth to combat and come up against our earthly facts. Is that not, great? See, otherwise, the earthly facts are coming at us like a freight train. And they will do exactly what a freight train would do to you. But we have a bigger freight train. And you wonder why, God, why is this true? And God says through Paul, the opposite is also true. And we are called as God's people to somehow hold these two truths within ourselves. We hold the pain and the anguish of earthly facts here in this fist, and on the other fist we hold the love, comfort, and peace of God in this fist, and it meets in our bodies. That's the concept of the temple. The temple was always where the pain of the world came in, and there was God in the temple, you see. And the opposing truths met in the temple. That's us. And it's at times a terrible vocation. How else can God access the pain of the world? We want his spirit to have access to the pain of the world. How else can he do it except through us? You see, does that make sense? You see, when you experience things, and you hold the treasure, you're giving that treasure access to the pain. Yeah? Oh, don't let me have any pain, God. Don't let me have any issues, God. Rescue me, God. And God says, it's the Christ pattern. That's what God says. It's the Christ pattern. That the love and grace and peace of God came and met the pain of the world in and through the body of Jesus. He comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus, and he goes into the valley of need. Right away, he's surrounded by need. Opposing truths. That's what this treasure that we as clay jars allows to occur in our lives. They coexist, and they coexist simultaneously. It's an overlooked aspect of the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful aspect of the Holy Spirit. Well, what are these? Look, here they are. Look at the opposing truths. Earthly facts and heavenly truths. Those are opposing truths. What are they? Paul says, we're pressured. We are. But then look at the other side. He says, we are not. You see this? There's the opposing truths. We are this, but we are not this. We are, we are not. We are, we are not. Back and forth, Paul goes. We're pressured, we're not crushed. We're perplexed, we're not in despair. We're persecuted, we're not abandoned. And eventually, and here's where the bodily resurrection's coming, as he goes into chapter 5, the bodily resurrection part of this is, we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Why is there so much hopelessness in the world about this virus? Because they don't have an opposing truth. Look at the greatest example of opposing truths that Paul says in Romans 8:10. There it is. See that? Now, if I don't have it right in front of me, but if the Spirit of God is in you, I think it says, the body is dead. See that? Earthly fact. The body is dead. Because of sin, earthly fact, here's the opposing truth. But the Spirit is life, heavenly truth, because of righteousness. How about Jesus talking to Martha? Lazarus is in the tomb. He says the same thing. He says, even if you're dead, you'll live. How can those two things coexist in my life, God? And then I extrapolate from that, and not only, you know, that's the ultimate coexistence, isn't it? What Paul just said, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's the ultimate coexistence of opposing truths. And then I extrapolate from that, and it trickles down into the everyday hurly-burly of my life. You see? That's the ultimate. But it comes in and filters in and bleeds into my life every day. Every day. This can't be true because this is true. Oh, no. Oh, no, says Paul. They can both be true. And then we jump down to verse 16. Verse 16, 17, and 18 in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, all hang on 4, 7 to 9. If you grasp 4, 7 to 9, you'll grasp everything below it. And here we go. Paul now gives us a summary. He says, verse 16. Because of this jar treasure amalgamation, we quote Paul, therefore we don't give up, even though. And now Tim's interpretation here, this isn't Paul, Tim. Our earthly facts can at times seem overwhelming. But the heavenly truth behind those earthly facts renews us day by day. Simultaneous coexistence of two opposing truths. Even though our outer person is being destroyed. Yeah. Our inner person's being renewed. Those are both occurring simultaneously, Paul? Yes, they are. That's verse 16. Verse 17. And here's This is it's inexplicable, Verse 17 is inexplicable. It's inexorable, and we don't like it. How does this renewal take place? Verse 17. Your affliction is producing glory. Your affliction is producing glory. That's how verse 16 comes about. That's the renewal that takes place day by day. Do you now look at your affliction differently? Paul did. Prayed three times for God to take a thorn away. God said, nope, I'm going to use that thorn. It's actually going to renew you, Paul. Therefore, we don't give up. See, non-God people do not have this renewal day by day brought about by their affliction, which Paul categorizes. He says the affliction is momentary and light. Yeah, it's momentary and light. And this glory that it's producing is eternal and it's weighty. So therefore, that's why we don't give up. Opposing truths wrought by the Holy Spirit in your life. This gives meaning, depth, and theological significance to everything you're going through. Without this, we're like Solomon. It's all vanity. I tried this, I tried that. Vanity, vanity. See, Paul is, what I love about this, Paul, he's talking about things that are going on behind the scenes. This renewal day by day. This behind the scenes stuff that's going on. And he talks in Colossians, he says, this is going on behind the scenes. You're seated in the heavens. You're a citizen of heaven. And these things are going on. And you're not aware of it, but Paul says, trust me, they're going on. And I know because I went to the third heaven and I saw things I can't even tell you about. So what's the practical application? Verse 18. Is that little sheet helpful? Great. Thank you, Teresa, for doing that. This is the practical application. You need practicality about this. I do too. Number one. Changes our focus, which changes our thoughts, which changes our prayers, and then changes our lives. God's people, come on. Come on, Paul says. It makes no sense. Paul says, what is seen is temporary. So we don't focus on what is seen because it just doesn't make sense. Paul says, why would you do that? It's temporary. But what is unseen, you focus on because it's eternal. So Paul is saying to us, just be practical about it. You're putting a lot of thought and energy into something that's already, remember last week? Slated for obsolescence. You're focusing on that which is already slated for obsolescence. This is where the enemy enters. Verse 18. This is where he's coming at you. Isn't he? So how about prayer? See, we need to rethink prayer from challenging and trying to change the temporary seen things to, God, allow me to see the eternal unseen here. God, I'll be God. Why would I put my energy into changing these temporary seen things because I've already slated them for obsolescence? Okay, now, but I would like you to see the eternal unseen things. Now that I'll get on with that. You want to talk to me about that? Yeah, let's do that. the wrong thing in your life that is thought or felt. Understand this. Here's the great hope of these opposing truths. The opposite condition presently occurs in the heavenly realm. You're already there, Paul says. The wrong thing thought or felt in your life related to an earthly fact, understand, the opposite condition is presently true. If you've been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, not on what is below. Why, Paul? Well, because you've died. What does he mean? The earthly facts are slated for death. They're obsolete. For you have died, and your real life is hidden and stored. When we pray, instead of challenging and trying to change our earthly facts, which I know you do, what a different way to look at prayer. Now, God, show me instead the heavenly truth that currently exists behind that wrong thing felt or thought in my life. Isn't that not good? Isn't that? Because you've been banging at the door of God, at the door of heaven, and challenging to change your earthly facts. Prayer was never meant to be that. It was never promised to be that. It was promised to give us to guard your hearts and mind. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It was promised to do that. How could your heart and mind be guided, guarded? Because you are blessed to see the opposing truth that is presently true, the other freight train. The addendum, Tim's addendum. This is what you're doing. By focusing on the temporary seen things of your life, what you're actually doing is investing them with power. The power that God has specifically reserved for the eternal unseen things of your life. Satan wants you to give power to the temporary seen facts that are obsolete already. They're already obsolete. If you seek in prayer that way, it makes your present reality already obsolete. And it is. Remember the twice told tale, vexing the dull ear of a drowsy man? What you're doing, you're cloaking them with a false immortality. That's what you're doing when you focus on that. You are cloaking them with a false immortality. You're promoting earthly facts to heavenly truth status. You are. Final addendum. Ever and always remember your earthly facts are already slated for obsolescence. Slated for the same obsolescence as your earthly treasures. Remember what Jesus said about earthly treasures? Moth rust thieves. Moth rust thieves. Your earthly facts are under the same rubric. Moth rust thieves. So if you have opposing truths occurring in your life simultaneously, coexisting, it is the function of that treasure that you hold. And believe it or not, next week, we're going to go into, yes, Nathan, next week we're going to progress. We're going to go to chapter 5, and we're going to talk about finally what I've been threatening, yet not delivered, bodily resurrection. But now you're going to understand it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless these words. Give us the heavenly truth, Lord. Amen.